All right. Welcome back to Autastic, the comedian's guide to autism. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and this is...
I'm Graham K. How are you?
I feel like that's a nice juxtaposition. Yeah. I've got the cheerleading going on, and you're like, I'm a scientist.
You were so high, so happy. I felt I had to level us out.
It's a lot of coffee. Wait a minute, I'm happy.
We drink so much coffee when we do this. You can really tell when we, like right as the coffee kicks in.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, so it's going well. Okay, that was weird.
I can edit that out.
Kirk just peed his pants, and he feels good.
We don't really do drugs. We're more of a coffee guys, and so it's
the last legal drug. And it boy, it's good.
It's definitely an upper. Mm-hmm. Feels great. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't tuned in before, we usually don't get derailed that early. But this is a podcast done by two guys who have family members.
If you don't know, it's a podcast. It's impressive. I don't know how you're listening right now.
What are these words coming out of this shiny box?
But anyway, I'll let you do.
What am I listening to?
I cut you off, buddy. Go ahead. Tell them what it is.
This is a podcast two comedians who have autistic family members that they love who are autistic, and then we just talk about different things related to that. So we usually do three little sections.
We are not experts. We are experts in living with loved ones. Living with loved ones who have autism.
Right. We aren't quote unquote scientists.
We are not scientists.
This is not science.
We don't even need to put quote unquote on either side of that. We are not scientists.
That's true. We don't need the quotes.
Period.
It's just clear.
It's very clear.
The list of things we aren't.
Where
is
they?
A long
University
extensive.
Of Phoenix scientists.
I went to DeVry, thank you.
My roommate was in VCR repair. I was in under scientist.
VCR repair, what year was that? Was that in the 80s? No, last year. So we have four sections. We do a weekly roundup, what's going on, and then there's an in the news section, and then it often rolls right into a topic du jour, which is French, which means what, Graham?
It means topic of the day.
That's what's up. It's like fish of the day.
It means soup du jour. So basically, yeah, so what you just said, we weekly roundup is... what happened this week? And Kirk, you go. This is your week. What happened?
Well, I'm putting together a little trip to go see my son for 8 days. His mom's going to take a break.
That's so great.
I'm excited. I'll have him for 8 days in a country where I don't speak the language.
He lives in Sweden.
That makes me nervous. Yeah, where if I need to find a plumber.
Everyone in Sweden speaks perfect English.
Jag helskar dig.
Everyone under the age of 50 speaks English in that country.
Under the age of 15, for sure.
Well,
the older generation, it's okay. You're right. It's just intimidating a little bit. It makes you feel like I can say a lot of things like, ushekta, excuse me, ushekta me, urmordu, good morning. I can say...
Say good morning again?
I think it's urmordu. But you always think it sounds like elvish.
It sounds like...
Urmordu? I think I'm saying it right.
It sounds like you're trying to find rings in a dragon.
Morak. You could find the rings in Mordu.
Ah, very good. Thank you.
So like, for example, he likes to rip fittings off the wall, like shower fittings. And so like, if I need to find a plumber immediately and you call information, and so it'll work out. It's going to be fine. I'm not worried. But yeah, I'm putting that trip together. So that's in a few days. And so... right after,
it's better than Sri Lanka in terms of English.
It's easier than Sri Lanka, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Sri Lanka, they definitely think they speak English, but they don't.
Like, well, fancy boy with your shower curtains.
And your verbs.
Anyway, so that's cool. That's great because you you hadn't seen him for a while, and then you just fairly recently saw him, what, like 2 months ago?
About a month.
A month ago.
Yeah, 5 weeks.
So that's great. That's great.
I'm excited.
Seen him 5 weeks again, and he missed you last time you saw him.
Yeah, he was excited.
That's great.
I think he's also excited for the stuff I brought, but he was excited. Yeah, so I'm putting together like my Christmas shopping, and it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. 8 days. It's gonna be great. Got a little activities planned. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be fun, man.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Go brave the northern tundra.
When you hadn't seen him in a while, you were like really. Not in a good place.
It made me feel like a dirtbag, yeah.
Well, I just think you missed your son. You love your son and you missed your son. It's just fair, you know? And I'm just pumped. I'm glad. I'm really happy you're going to go back to see him again.
I'm excited.
It's a good thing, man. 8 days. It's going to be great.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. His mom's not going to be there. She's going to go home to see her dad.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. His mom's not going to be there.
Well, I just mean he's... it's going to be good. It's going to be good, man.
Some bro time. Mm-hmm. You know? Some boy time.
I'm trying to plan some activities. Maybe take in the park, do a few little things, a few little water activities. Big water fan.
Yeah. Peter loves the water.
Something about it.
Is that an autistic thing?
Yeah.
They like water?
It's very common where they think that like maybe because like being in water, like the water hugs you because you feel exactly where your body ends and it like squishes you a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's like a giant hug from nature.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to think of it. Maybe I'll get into swimming.
Swimming's supposed to be great for you, yeah.
Yeah. What about smoking? Is that good?
Less benefits to smoking.
I don't really smoke.
Than swimming. But the nicotine does give you a little buzz, I hear. I hear it's a... I've thought about just getting the patch. I've never smoked, but just getting the patch just to get that little buzz going.
I've bought a handful of cigarette packs in my life. And one of them was like when I was just traveling in Europe and I was like, I'm going to go to a cafe in the morning, drink a coffee and smoke cigarettes.
6 a.m.
And I was just like, I was like high. I didn't like it. I was like, I'm too high for 10 a.m. I was smoking a cigarette and a coffee. I don't know how smokers have a coffee and cigarette every morning. You start your day. I felt like I was drunk. I was just like on a patio like,
speaking French.
In Slovakia, speaking French. Why? Anyway. That's interesting about the water. I never realized that. That's so funny how this podcast is making me realize things that I never really put together about my brother. He loves swimming. He loves swimming.
But it seems like you like to put it together afterwards.
I mean, put it together.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like in hindsight, it always seems to make sense to you. You're always like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. My brother does the same thing.
I never really did. I mean, it's weird to say, but like when I grew up, there was no internet. I couldn't Google.
That's not weird to say at
all, dude. I couldn't Google.
There's no cell phones when I grew up.
And but I could have done it later. I could have done it post 2000, but I just hadn't because I just accepted it and I never really questioned things, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just weird. It's just sometimes it's sort of shocking to me that like I haven't done more research on autism. I mean, I know a lot more about autism than the average Joe. You know, that's for sure.
I feel like I'm teaching a class. It's great.
Well, I mean, I knew more about it before, but this just helps. I just think it's interesting. It's like I'm learning along with the listener, I guess.
I feel like I knew zero at the beginning.
I can tell an autistic person from a block away. Like I'll be hanging out with my girlfriend and I'll be like, that kid's son is autistic. I knew that my friend, I worked with this I was a bartender my boss had an autistic son and he was like 2 and I could tell and he didn't know.
It's a tough thing to do if you should tell him or not. I never know what to do because nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
And you're the bad guy.
He was in denial a bit maybe, and he was like, he would talk to his son and be like, one day you're going to, because he got the bar handed down to him by his dad. And he was like, one day this is going to be your bar. And
the kid's not interested in anything but trains.
And I was like, dude,
right?
It's not going to be his bar. Also because this bar is failing now and won't be around.
Listen,
much longer.
This is going to be the IRS's bar in about 6 months. And so
you know
just
what?
Pace yourself.
You know what? That bar no longer exists. I went back to New York and like a few years ago and it was gone. But it was, yeah.
I love and hate that about New York, that there's no, I lived there 4 years. I was back there 2 weeks ago, did some shows. There's a few things
continuity.
That last, but there's no continuity, man. And I guess that's life. Everything moves on. Like even you go down to the World Trade Center and all that's, and I'm not saying you keep it in rubble, but it just blows my mind that it's all, there's memorials and there's.
Look, at the World Trade Center, that's different.
But I'm saying that's a metaphor
reason
how
why.
Everything moves on. Like, I mean, if we move on from that, we move on from Joe's Pizza closing, we move on from your friend's bar. I
understand what you're saying, but I disagree with that scenario. I mean, they put a pretty nice memorial there. It's not like they just moved on and paved over it. We're like, nothing to see here, you know?
No. I'm not saying they covered it up at all. I'm just saying there were things that I witnessed that I've tried to explain to my daughter or that you'll explain that they only see the memorial. They didn't see the skyline with the two buildings. I don't know.
Right. It does. That city, it's just... I don't know. It's too bad. The energy's still in that city, though.
Yeah, yeah. But the comedy clubs, like, because we come from comedy, you know, you remember Boston, the comedy club. You remember the Ha used to be there. There's all these, the Art Center, Times Square Art Center, is gone. You know, now it's the Scare Center or something, Times Scare Center. There's, anyway, it doesn't matter. We're getting totally derailed. But yeah, yeah, my life moves on, man.
All right, that was a week in review. Let's do in the news, Kirk.
In the news, man. This is
interesting.
An interesting article in the Post.
A little heavy, though, but I think a lot of us, a lot of the listeners, I know you can could relate to it.
This is in the Post, Washington Post. It's in the parenting section. It's called, the article's, it's time to talk about autism and mental health. They talk about a couple here. TJ and Peter are the kids, and basically the younger one is Peter. He gets in a little argument, bickering with his older brother, normal. TJ was 15, so it's a year difference.
Mm-hmm.
They start to get into it. They show a picture of it. TJ, the older kid who is autistic, mm-hmm. is much bigger than the younger kid.
Yeah, boy, is he ever, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, he's about 6 feet tall, and
it gets
physical.
Looks like Rob Gronkowski.
Kind of does.
Yeah.
And it gets physical, and then the dad, who's about 6 feet, has to step in mm-hmm. and try to hold him, and degenerates. They're rolling around on the floor, and everybody's crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they talk to him about, okay, take deep breaths, relax, just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
The kid finally relaxes, and then inevitably, the hatred he feels outside becomes internalized.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's angry at himself. And he beats himself up about how stupid he is and what a jerk. And then you have to talk him out of that. No, we love you. And then in the article, they send him to his room. Go relax your room. She goes to check on him. He's on the ledge, and she thinks it's about, you know, he's going to jump, and he's thinking about trying to escape, but he's not thinking about, how precarious the situation is. And he might not make a second story jump safely,
mm-hmm.
can get injured.
Mm-hmm.
And, about
Spider-Man does it.
Yeah, exactly. But, they take him to the hospital, and it comes out that
they get him off the ledge.
They get him
jump.
Off the ledge. No, nope.
Okay. They don't get him off the ledge.
They get him off the ledge. Okay. Yeah. He does not jump.
Okay.
And then, she calls her friends a nurse. They go to the hospital, talks to a shrink. Basically, it comes out he doesn't want to hurt himself. He just wants to get away. He gets frustrated with himself, and his impulse is to flee when he gets angry.
Yeah.
And it overrides the logic of fleeing from a second story window, mm-hmm. which could obviously result in his death.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about his anxiety. So he not only has autism,
mm-hmm.
but he also, this specific child is diagnosed with bipolar and mm-hmm. Child. He's 15, but he's still a child. And anxiety. And so, yeah. So obviously, so I have a good friend of mine whose son is autistic and deaf
mm-hmm.
and something else. So anytime you've got that second or third, you know, the latest diagnosis for my son was also diagnosed as mildly retarded or delayed. No, it's in Swedish. So I'm translating from Swedish. But yeah. So anytime you've got that second diagnosis, it's really a hurdle mm-hmm. to any sort of therapy or anything.
I completely understand this scenario, and without going into too much detail, and I think many of us have experienced that with their maybe autistic loved one. Is that's a very, very tough time.
Yeah.
It gets really, really dicey around 16 to 18.
Yeah.
Like so much hormones, they're becoming men.
Yeah.
And also that's when bipolar sort of starts, early bipolar can set in your 20s. Peter was a teenager. He was an angry jerk when he was 16.
Yeah.
You know, 17,
we're going through some
18.
Of that right now.
You know, and he calms down. Your son's going to calm down just like any man calms down a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
I used to get in a lot of fights, which I know is hard to believe.
Yeah. Kirk laughs, but you can just feel the anger simmering just right below that.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
It's love anger.
Nah. But anyway, he I was an angry jerk when I was that age, but he doesn't have the outlets, the capacity to know how to deal with it. And Peter would get really violent, you know? And
yeah.
Sometimes we were scared it was going to happen with my mom and stuff. And like, you know, Peter's a good person. He's a good person. He was just exploding, you know, like hormonally. And It was very, very difficult. And then, you know, he sort of calmed down in his early 20s, and he was easier for a bit. And then he started to get really depressed. Could not get out of living in the past, always living in the past about when people were mistreating him and stuff like that, like being bullied and stuff. And so basically he was diagnosed recently, like recently as in a few, like maybe 3-4 years ago,
yeah,
as being bipolar.
Okay.
And then he got, he's on some antidepressants right now. And you know, he sees a therapist every now and again. And you know, my parents and myself work on him and help him. One of the things I told him was that like memories are like clouds. This is one that he always repeats to me.
You told him this, or the therapist?
Yeah, I told him this. Okay. Memories are like clouds, and they come and they go and they pass, and then they're gone.
Oh, I like that. Did you write that?
Yeah. And then,
did you really?
Yeah,
and I liked
then,
it a lot.
And then he's like, oh yeah, okay, because he can see it. It's like an example.
Yeah, it's very visual.
Yeah, and so he just, when he has a bad thought, he knows it's gonna go. It's there, but it's gonna go.
It's temporary.
Temporary, and maybe a new one will come, but that's gonna go too.
I love it.
And so I just found out while we were doing research for this particular topic, again, I'm learning more about my brother, that a lot of autistic people have bipolar as well.
There is a possibility that,
yeah.
I don't think it's more than half, but it's common.
Not more than half, but it's more common than the average Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Having bipolar.
Yeah.
Right. So that's interesting. I don't know what that means, but it's just interesting.
Well, I think it's good to know.
Something to look out for if you have an autistic.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're alone.
Person.
You're not, it doesn't feel like, I think part of the big challenge, I think.
If we had known earlier, I will say this. If you have an autistic person and you suspect, get them tested, because as soon as he was tested and he was put on the right medication, I mean, he's not taking a lot of medication. He's not a zombie or anything. He's taking a little bit amount of antidepressants, and he's just doing a lot better. I mean, yeah. I'm generally against medication for these sort of things, but what the hell do I know? I don't know anything, and I have to admit, when I was skeptical, and he's just doing a lot better, and it was the right thing, and he's happier. He's just happier. He's a happier guy. He's able to deal with these clouds,
yeah,
you know, a lot better, and the times that they're hovering over are a lot smaller. You know, he calls me sometimes, and he's just so happy. You know, I could just hear it in his voice.
He calls you. You're at a French cafe smoking in the morning.
Yeah, I'm there.
He's on his antidepressants.
This guy. I'm glad I don't have an addictive personality. I'm glad I'm not. I never got addicted to smoking. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't either, I don't think.
I like feeling. It's just hard enough to feel good, you know? I don't need anything holding me down.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I do like coffee, though, man.
Man.
Oof. Four cups.
You make a good coffee.
This is a quality Ecuadorian coffee brought from the hills of Ecuador myself. I was just in Ecuador. I did my first show exclusively in Spanish.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't tell you that.
No.
So
that's impressive.
I've done shows in Spanish before, but it's to Mexican-Americans mostly, so it's American jokes. Like, we talk about Walmart, or we can talk about living in America,
right,
just in Spanish. This was a show completely in Ecuador, so no Walmart references, no Ford F-150 references. You got to talk about...
Okay.
Ecuador.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I told stories, and it was great. Like 15 minutes. My first all. I had told a story like I grew up in Ecuador, and I had just telling stories like, you know, you guys remember in Ecuador in the 80s, you ride the bus, you used to get robbed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the backup to the story is I'm about 6'2", and I have big feet. I'm 13s. And so... I remember one time I got robbed, and the guy was like, take off everything, because that's what he used to say. Take off everything. Take off your shoes. Take off your watch, your hat, everything. And then I replied, what are you going to do with these size 13 shoes? And he's like, fine, you can keep that crap. Everything else.
Yeah.
Take everything else off. And then, you know, you got some audio visuals, just some jokes about the local culture. You know, now you do the act out of him looking at the shoes. And then I did a slideshow that shows a gang member holding these giant shoes. Ecuadorian jokes. It was good.
How'd you get that picture?
Google.
Okay. Anyway.
Humor in Latin America is very visual still. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We get so sidetracked in this thing. All right.
It's okay. What is
that was in the news? Should we do the topic du jour?
Let's do the topic du jour.
Okay, topic du jour is okay. There is a big group of autistic kids who came up in the 90s and
sounds like a gang. They're coming.
I just see them all just holding trains and just snapping. When you're a jet. So now as they become adults, what are we going to do with these kids? What's finding them places to fit in, to work, to, and by kids, I mean people, you know, I don't mean that disparagingly, but like
right.
finding, especially for the severe end, like
where is our generation going to put
a million autistic people in
the
America.
Autistic people, and then also the baby boomers.
Yeah, really.
We're just dealing with these two groups.
And we should say there's a lot of autistic people that are fully integrated, that do have jobs, and that's great. That's great. Obviously, this isn't addressed to them. But the other kids, like my son or Peter, who's still looking for a place to fit in, where they fit in. Mm-hmm. So this was in the news. Mel Karmazin, I'm mispronouncing his name, who used to be the head of CBS. He's looking for...
This is in the news, but it's not in the news. This is a topic du jour.
This is a topic du jour.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. But the topic is basically, what are we going to do with these autistic people who need a place to fit in society? And so he's starting the first of its kind on-campus center that will support adults with autism. It's going to be at Rutgers
mm-hmm.
on the East Coast. And basically, the facility will encourage autistic adults to live and work independently in a university setting.
That is so amazing. And I'll tell you, it just... There's a couple reasons. Integration, also a lot of these people can contribute to society.
Oh yeah,
and not only contribute, but at the very least, soften the burden on society.
Yeah.
And it just makes them happier. They're healthier. It's just everything. It's just smart.
But I think as a group, it could be a totally net positive in the right situation with the right tools. It could be total net positive on society. Where. Mm-hmm. And remember, like for me, especially, I remember college was the best time of your life. You're surrounded by peers. Yeah, you're living in a dorm or something. You don't have a lot of personal space, but who cares? Like it's so much fun. You know, you're hanging out with friends. You're contributing. You're working a little bit. I worked through college. You know, I did menial stuff in the summers. We painted houses, and I worked in the cafeteria.
It's gonna be a very different experience for these kids, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I will say this: Peter went to a program. He went to Algonquin College, which is a college in Ottawa. And he, it's a special program for special needs people. Just basically, it's like a continuation of high school in a sense. Like it's like budgeting, math, you know, like how to become more independent. Peter couldn't have hated it more. He still hated that he went there. He hated it because I think that this is one thing for these people to look out for this gentleman who's creating the program to look out for. He was thrown to the wolves a bit. He was right. just thrown into this college setting where he doesn't look autistic. He doesn't have a scarlet letter with an A on him, you know, letting everybody know, you know. So he had the campus security called on him a few times, and he was legitimately traumatized. Like he was in the bookstore, and he thought a girl was pretty, and he was like, "Do you want to be my girlfriend?" And then she got creeped out and called the campus security, and he's like traumatized. Like there's just no. But people need to be aware. You know?
But this is it's an on-campus center, so I think it's going to be totally different. It's not going to be I went to a little private school. It's not going to be private school, and then they throw 10 autistic kids in there with no training. It's going to be, I'm guessing, hundreds of kids because they're raising $35 million mm-hmm. for permanent housing and permanent jobs. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine something like he goes to some class. My kid needs class still. So like mm-hmm. ABA, does some therapy, goes and works in the cafeteria.
What's ABA?
Applied behavior analysis, I think, where you're doing the hand over hand, all that stuff where teaching him basic stuff.
Uh-huh.
He does his therapy. Then he goes, works the cafeteria. I work the cafeteria. You teach him to run you rinse off the dishes, you put them through the machine, you stack the dishes.
You wash the potatoes.
Yeah. You peel the potatoes, you wash the potatoes, you make some dinner, you eat.
Peter's making fries right now. He's washing and slicing.
It's great.
Loves it.
You know, it'd be great for my son. It'd be great. You do 5 hours of school, 5 hours of work, watches some videos, goes to bed, rinse and repeat. I think it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plus you're surrounded with other people, like-minded people. That's the great part about college. You're all around the same age. You've got similar interests, and you can make friends so easy.
Babes.
You know how hard it is to make friends in your 40s compared to your 20s? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because you have less time. Mm-hmm. I make friends because I have nothing to do all day. But well, most people.
Yeah. It's really easy to make friends if you're a comedian.
Yeah, I know.
Just always true. Hanging out.
You're just hanging out.
Hanging out.
What are you guys doing later? Hanging out?
My friend said this when I first started comedy, and I think it's so true. It's like if you're at a diner, and you just see a bunch of mismatched people, like a Hasidic Jew, a thuggy black guy,
a nerd, and a bro.
But all comics. They're either an AA or they're comedians.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Or both.
Or both. Yeah. Yeah.
Most likely both.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is great. I think this is part of the solution. Yeah. And listeners, if you know this gentleman, tweet him. Tell him we'd love to chat with them a bit and reach out to him if he knows people. It's a small community. You'd be surprised. Everybody knows somebody.
Send him our podcast. We're gonna try and get this guy on our podcast.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah. What's his name?
Oh, boy. You help me with the pronunciation here. I'm not that bright.
You're very bright.
Mel Carmazin.
Carmazin,
yeah.
Mel Carmazin.
I remember he used to be the head of CBS back when Letterman was there, I believe. I should look this up, but it was a few years ago. Head of Viacom, CBS, and Sirius.
He's a poor man. We'll have to go to his office probably if we're going to interview him.
You saying he doesn't want to be interviewed here in the bathroom of my apartment? Is that what's happening?
No.
Good acoustics.
I wish we didn't have to do it in your bathroom, but that's fair.
The acoustics are so good.
Yeah.
And it's all the toilet paper you need to blow your nose.
Have I been sniffling this episode?
I mean, in general, anybody. What if he has a cold?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's got a great idea. I hope they do it right. And if not, I think we'll learn from it and we will find the right program, and good for him. Honestly, I think it is a problem that these, and it'd be better for society. I think it'll just save the country money in the end.
Of course.
Just keeping them out of trouble and
making them productive.
Making them productive.
Yeah.
And I think it'll just make everyone happy. And I think
there's
it's just
something
great
about giving back and contributing that all of us feel great about. I mean, this podcast makes me feel good. I feel like at least, you know, you're contributing, you're making a contribution. There's thousands of people listening to this now, and it's you feel like it's a source of encouragement. It's great.
Yeah. Guys, thank you as always for listening.
We did it. Fantastic. Episode number 18 in the bank.
Boom.
Great.
All right, as always, thank you so much for the reviews you guys are giving us, the positive reviews on iTunes. It helps so much. If you haven't already, give us a review and a good rating. Gio Mama gave us a nice one. You want to read that one, Kirk?
Yeah, this is a iTunes review. This is a real look at autism and everything that comes with, not just a bunch of fuzzy, warm, feel-good moments, the good, bad, and the ugly, but also funny. And 5 stars.
This is why I like it. I mean, there's plenty of nice people, but this is why we picked that one, is because I like that we're not shying away from the ugly stuff. I like that we're being real, and I am glad that you guys appreciate that and get that. I'm glad you guys are cool with it, not being a bunch of nerds about it. Thanks.
Little barb there, Dan. Love it.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. We love you. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you more than you could ever know. As always, you can reach us on Twitter at Graham K Comedy, at Kirk Smith Comedy, as well on Facebook and on Instagram at the same. Also, go to Autastic on Facebook. Also, you can, that's our own fan page that we made for this.
There's upwards of 2 pictures on there.
Well, we're working on it.
We are.
Yeah.
We're going to load Graham's pictures of his brother Peter soon.
We got to hire an intern is what we got to do. We got to hire some kid.
Someone who wants to be paid in cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Wants to sit around and drink coffee with us. In the bathroom.
But and also... You can email us.
Yeah.
Any questions or any requests.
Autasticpodcast@gmail.com.
We do public appearances as well. Autasticpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, you guys are absolutely fantastic. We appreciate it. Any closing closing statement?
December, I'm going to be in Texas. Keep an eye out for that. The listeners in Texas. And in January, I'm putting together a big show at the Hollywood Improv called This Is Crazy, about mental illness and neurodevelopmental disorders. We've had it a few times. It's been a lot of fun. Graham's done it. Mm-hmm. Did a great job. And keep an eye out for that.
I'm very talented, Kirk.
Working on dates. You are very talented.
Thank you.
Not just tall
no.
and bearded, mm-hmm. but also talented.
I'm thinking of getting rid of the beard.
You have everything, Graham.
I do.
And I have nothing.
Well, that is untrue. yeah.
I love you, buddy.
We're doing fine. Love you too, buddy. Thanks, you guys. We love you guys.
Thanks yeah, thanks for
much.
Listening, guys. Thank yeah. you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.